Hi, it's Watercolor with Wendy. Today I want to comment on the idea of not being able to paint on this watercolor painting podcast. I am in recovery from an operation for the last few weeks, and there's more time for recovery coming, so I'm waylaid for a while, and some of my well-meaning students and friends have asked me, well, are you painting yet? And I know where that question is coming from a couple different places. One of them is they think of me as mostly about me as a painter or a painting teacher. And so that they assume that that would be a way of feeling like I'm back to my old self. And then friends and family know that I enjoy my painting very much. I certainly do it a lot. And so they want me to be happy. And so they think of it as a sign of recovery, that I could be able to paint. But unfortunately, I cannot paint right now. And I'm trying to think of it, why is that? And how I can relate to other people who feel like they cannot paint. Now, I'm talking about people who just have completely closed down that part of themselves, that they will never be able to, and you hear them comment, maybe some of you have heard people say, oh, I wish I could do that, or I'd never be able to do that. I cannot draw a straight line, or only my mother or my sister are talented. And so there's that group. But then there's people who want to paint and come to classes and attempt to paint, and yet they can't paint. So what is going on there? Well, maybe by analyzing my own situation, I can understand it a little bit better. So first thought is there's a misunderstanding of what it's like to paint, what the experience of it is. There's a misconception that painting is something to relax you and to make you feel peaceful, and that it just sort of flows. Well, I don't find that to be true. It isn't exactly a relaxing experience. It's an experience that takes you away from where you are, but I call it work. And most professional artists, when they talk about their painting, they call it their work. I haven't been working. I've heard that phrase for decades. And they go to their studio and they work. It's hard. If you're painting in the professional fine arts way. Now, certainly anybody, and I could just pick up a piece of paper and throw a paint around and put my favorite colors or just not with any direction. That's quite easy to do. I don't find that satisfying in any way. One thing you hear people comment on is when they come over and watch what you're doing and they see a little piece of paper or a paper napkin next to you, and there's a bunch of just where you wiped your brush, and they like to make this comment, oh, I like your napkin better than what you're doing, or oh, I look at your beautiful napkin. And what they're saying is they like the colors, they like the randomness of it, and they have this idea that they would like to be able to paint in a free form, loose, easy way, directly from some sort of creative thing inside of them, and that it's not an effort. And so they misdirect themselves, thinking that, well, if I could just loosen up, and then they paint something and they think it's great, and it's nothing. It's just no consciousness is put into it. So what I'm talking about, the kind of painting I'm talking about, is where you're engaging yourself, your consciousness, your experience of the world visually and emotionally, and how to translate that into colors, into shapes and relationships of shapes and colors, and also to be able to look deeply into your subject matter, which is work. I mean, when we first start out in my classes, we go for observational painting and drawing. And that means you have to look, you have to overcome your ability, your habit rather, of looking at things in a ordinary, what I'm going to call it, ordinary way. There's a chair, it's black. there's some flowers on the counter. I think they're called tulips, and so forth. And that's how we look at the world in a, we call it a left brain. In my class, it's not totally accurate, but it's a left brain sort of way. So when you decide to paint, you say, well, it's a black chair. I'm going to go get my black paint. Or tulips. I've seen tulips before. They have long stems and they have this little shape at the end. And you're relying on your memory and your automatic thinking. Now, most people, I think, do paint that way. They just try to make something that's fun and easy and relaxing and hope that it looks like the thing that they're trying to paint. Or they paint from their imagination. Well, painting from your imagination is a much higher skill than I've ever been able to reach. It happens when you have been painting the other way for a long time, and then you can incorporate dreams and imagination into what you're doing. And it's not really imagination. It is a deeper way of looking at the world and where you're able to actually integrate that into your experience and your life, and then, you know, experience of that day, experience of your mood, experience of a situation. And that is not really imagination. That is incorporation of the visual that you see with your experience. And that's very difficult. I guess I have done it sometimes, but that's really high level. So why am I not able to paint while I'm recovering from this operation? Because I'm all my energy is going into taking care of my body and trying to heal. And so there's not much left over. It's sort of like saying, when you're driving a car to a new destination, why don't you paint while you're doing that? That's what it sounds like to me. You can't, because you need your concentration to sort of keep alive from and get somewhere. And you can't do two things at once of this sort. So I can't paint because I'm putting all my energy into staying alive right now and getting better. And if I tried to paint, it would be horrible and it would be painful and it would be bad. So I'm not doing that. So what do I do in the meantime? Am I still a painter? Because I feel kind of, I've lost my identity. I'm not really able to function in the ways that I feel competent as a mother, grandmother, teacher, a friend, painter. I haven't been able to do any of that to any degree. And so I'm forced into the situation of reflecting on it's an observational point of view because I'm away from it. And so I can comment a little bit in my mind on myself as a painter, myself as a teacher, which is a useful thing to be able to do. I've had periods of recovery from things before, different life situations like the pandemic, trying to teach on Zoom, and other illnesses. And I found it's always made me come back to painting as a better observer of the world and a better express machine of how to use paint to incorporate that into my work. So I'm not worried anymore that I'll never be able to paint, because I know I'm good. Last time was hiatus from painting. I came back and I had a huge amount of energy for an entire show, which I put together in 4 months, because I was able to, I had so much, the flow was really going of what I was interested in painting and painting in different ways. And it was like the dam had let go from not painting for too long. So my thoughts for everybody on this is, think about the different parts of being a fine art professional artist, not just a hobby painter, which is just sort of for fun and relaxation. I tell my students, I'm not trying to relax you. I'm trying to ignite you with the excitement of this process. So I've come up with a formula before of a percentage of time that you spend on different activities as a painter. And I find that it's only 25% of the time you're putting brush to paper. And I think a lot of professional artists will agree. What are you doing with all that other time? You're observing the world. You're thinking about what you're looking at. Maybe doing preliminary sketches, organizing your paints, shopping for new materials, and looking. That's part of it, especially when you're not in your best physical shape. You can do mundane things like organize your paints, which I might do, but probably won't. I'm still not even quite there. But then what else? Looking at art. So I'm doing a lot of that. Looking at great painters, and I'm seeing them in a quiet, meditative way. And I know that's going to affect my painting in the future. So I would say 25% of the time looking at art, 25% of your time just doing simple things like looking at the world and organizing your things and maybe cleaning your studio. 25% of your time actually putting brush to paper. And then what's the other 25%? It's evaluating your own work. It's I will also include things like, what am I going to do with my work? Am I going to hang it? I'm going to, the practical side, because we have to do that too. Trying to find a gallery or trying to find a buyer or, you know, think of all the practical sides of getting your materials. That's sort of the overview business side of it. So I'm in that phase of just, you know, looking at other art in a contemplative way, taking the time, a little bit looking at nature out my window. And I know from experience now of many times when I get back to painting, it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to that, but it's not going to happen super soon.